Welcome to Airtime, presented by AIR in partnership with the New Alamo Draft House in Richardson. Airtime is a signature artist interview series featuring artists and creative thinkers in Richardson and the Dallas-Fort Worth area, where artists share about their art and why their creativity makes a difference. It's March 19th, 2014, and today's guest artists are Lee Papert, President and CEO of the Dallas Film Society, and James Faust, Artistic Director of the Dallas Film Society. Please give a warm welcome to Lee and James and our moderator, Chris Tucker.
Thank you and welcome to Airtime here at the New Alamo Draft House at 100 South Central Expressway in Richardson, Texas. Alamo Draft House is essentially located on the southwest corner of Beltline Road and I-75. My name is Chris Tucker and I'm your moderator. In my years as a radio announcer for WRR, composer, performer, and conductor, organizations such as Arts Incubator of Richardson engage its community with worthwhile events to showcase the arts. Airtime is a program designed to be a collective think tank on the arts, and we accomplish this by bringing in the artists from our community and engaging our audience members. Well, in radio broadcasting, time is an important component. So to help us along the way, I'm keeping an eye on the clock. When time is up for a particular section, we'll hear this sound, a desk bell. Please welcome again to the Alamo Draft House Theater Stage, Lee Papert and James Faust.
Hello.
Hello.
Okay, so thank you guys again for joining us. First, I have to say just like how excited I am to have you guys here for Airtime, especially with Lee, because Lee and I go way back before Airtime, before the Dallas Film Society, when I was working at WRR and Lee Papert was at the Dallas Wind Symphony.
You mean when I had hair and you were skinny?
That's right. No, okay. That's right. It's great that we've collaborated then and we get to collaborate now, so I'm really excited to hear what you guys have to say about the Dallas Film Society. And really, you know, arts is definitely a small world if we have this kind of stuff happen. Before we get to the heart of today's interview and talk about the Dallas Film Society, let's learn more about your personal journeys to the DFS. And I turn to James first. You're a Texan, yes. You went to Texas Tech and SMU for your studies.
That is correct. I like the word studies. I like that a lot. Yes.
So tell us a little bit about your upbringing, going through high school. Did you want to be an actor early on? Did you want to be a director? Did you want to do anything with film early on, or was it something that came up later on in life?
Yes. Okay. I guess high school, I've always liked films. I remember my first movie that I can remember going to was a drive-in theater in Irving, Texas, and it was Car Wash. And I was too young to know what was going on. And the second movie I saw, I think, was in the same week. It was Death Race 2000, so I've been a fan since. High school, it was the height of music videos, and so I wanted to be a music video director.
Okay.
And I wanted to go to the Art Institute because they had a program, and I was totally bowled over by their advertising on TV. Be a music video director. I could do that. So I didn't do that because my mother said that's for fools, and she made me go to Texas Tech. She actually filled out my application for me and said, you're going somewhere else, and I actually wanted to go to school. Oh, there's more mic. There's more buzz, but there's more mic. We'll figure that out.
Yeah, let's eliminate the buzz, please, too, if we can.
But yeah, so I spent time in high school. I went to Texas Tech University to get a marketing degree and fell in love with radio, actually. And then I got into theater at Tech, and I ended up studying both theater and telecommunications radio, ran the radio station there. I did professional radio. I was a country music DJ in Tech in Lubbock. Went by the name of Chris Tracy. If anybody ever seen the Prince movie Under the Cherry Moon, that was his name in that, so I thought that was a stick to the country music people.
Are there any other stations in Lubbock besides country?
Oh, yeah, plenty. My station was a country ag talk station that was connected to the all-hit station. So I did the sports for the all-hit station, and I was the sports slash DJ, country DJ for the country station. Then we went all talk, and I became the board engineer and sports radio producer and sports radio host. And I decided some things happened in my life, and I said, you know what? I don't want to. I spent 9 hours. I was working three jobs, and I only liked 2.5 hours of the day. And I decided to figure out what I wanted to do, what I was willing to go to school at, what I was willing to go to school for a while to do, and it turned out to be film. And I wanted to come home and take care of my younger brother in the house. And so I came back to Dallas and went to SMU and got a film degree at SMU.
So you grew up in Dallas ISD system?
I actually grew up in Grand Prairie, South Grand Prairie High School.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Irving and Grand Prairie. So actually you only used to sneak into Dallas and sneak into this club that was on Lemon when I was not supposed to be there.
When did you specifically decide to go into the world of film? Was it after Texas Tech?
It was during. I took every class I could at Texas Tech in film. I said anything I could take, just a film class, film theory. There was only four at the time, because there wasn't a film degree. There was telecommunications. You could take every video class, but there wasn't anything studying film outside of four classes. And one of them was in the psychology department. And so I made a decision that I love film. I was writing screenplays before I knew how to write a screenplay. I was watching everything I could watch. Blockbuster saw me coming all the time back in the day. So I just made a decision. I'd say I'd been out of school for a year, and I was still in Lubbock working radio. And I said, I'm just going to do what makes me happy. And if I have to go to school to figure out how to do this, then I'm going to do that.
Well, I'm assuming, based on my next question, this was after SMU. But among your film credits, you worked on the 1998 film Armageddon.
Yes,
with Bruce Willis.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, there's a nice name plug here. You were a grip. Now, first off, what is a grip?
A grip. I was a PA grip on that, because that was the biggest second unit shoot I'd ever seen in my life. Summer of '97. I was still in school at SMU at the time. A grip is a guy. So you have lights that are set up, and you have track for the dolly, which is what the camera's on to get those tracking shots that Michael Bay really likes to do quite a bit. And a grip are the guys who lay down the track. They set up the things that go next to the light to block the light from certain ways. They build things. They're pretty much the guys. I had a tool belt. I walked around with that, and then I realized in that show that I didn't want to be a grip so much as I wanted to be an electrician, because they got paid more, and I got to plug stuff in and blow stuff up, and it was a lot better. So, yeah, I was a grip. I worked on Walker, Texas Ranger for a bit of a time for a while. I mean, I did commercials. I did anything I can to learn everything about the business before. I was a producer on commercials and television for a while. And then I got tired of waking up at 5 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning to get to a set or whatever. And this film festival thing came along.
Well, tell us a little bit about Texas Walker Ranger, because it seems that that's a theme for this season's airtime, because we had an actor back in November. His name's Alan Ackles, and he actually played a couple of roles on that TV series as well, so that's come up a good bit this season. But did you produce? Did you work as a grip?
I was an electrician on that show. Oh, so okay. I played, so whenever they needed, they had a steady crew all the time, and I was a freelance electrician in town. And so whenever they needed help on a particular episode, they would hire me to come out there and pitch in or hang lights. And it was some of the most expressive and horrible times in my life. At the same time, I'll never give it up.
So it sounds like as you were going through your studies at SMU, that you were finding yourself doing more of the production side of filmmaking. Did you ever have that desire to be on screen, on camera as an actor? Did you do any of that kind of work as well?
I did. There was a few, outside of basketball players, there weren't a lot of black people at SMU, so that was really easy to get jobs as drug dealers and things like that. I did a lot of on-screen stuff at SMU. It literally was that, like, oh, wait a minute, that guy's walking across campus, get him. And can you read this? Yes, I can. And, oh, but can you be blacker? And I can try. I literally played probably four or five drug dealers or mafia people in SMU shorts for about 2 years. And so, yeah, it was. In my own movie, I didn't like any of the black actors when I had made my first short, which you'll never, ever see. I made that short. I didn't like any of the actors. I'll just do it. And I shaved my hair, and I played this athlete, and I just sucked. But don't direct yourself. That's the worst thing you can do. I just couldn't do it.
There you go. There's a tip there. So film arts management seems to be a passion of yours.
Yes.
Not only in your current position, which we'll talk about in just a bit, but working with such festivals as the Asian Film Festival of Dallas, the Austin Film Festival, and the Texas Black Film Festival. You even co-founded one in Dallas.
Yeah.
Deep Ellum Film Festival.
Actually, I helped co-found the Texas Black Film Festival with those guys, but Deep Ellum, I was there. It started in 1999 with our co-founder of our film society, Michael Kane. They started that. I came in 2000 to help produce some commercials, and then I looked around and said, who's watching these movies for you? And, well, these people. And when it's a cancer charity, raising money for those suffering with cancer, so all the funds that we raised at the festival went to that, and so it was a lot of charitable volunteers and not film people. So I came on and said, I'd love to watch the movies for this and help you out. So I stuck with them. That's how I got into film festivals. I had a short film and a music video I'd shot with a friend of mine from SMU. We had this company making music videos, and we did that, and I just said, I just want to be with this. And I realized how much I enjoyed new work and seeing these people bring all this stuff in, and how bad my stuff was or how good my things were at the same time. I just love that whole energy of creating this sort of film museum on a certain level, and it was just really, and I just kept coming back. And the real crazy thing was, we weren't getting paid for Deep Ellum Film Festival. It was all volunteer, completely built on love, and we just kept doing it until the AFI thing came around, and then it became something that I now can pay my car payments. So.
Well, let's turn to Lee now. So your bio reads like a who's who of arts management now.
Okay.
I'm sure every arts group in the Metroplex, including the Lone Star Wind Orchestra, would love to have you on our board. Did you always want to pursue a career in arts management?
No. When I was in college, I was going to go be an work for an ad agency and make, you know, be creative and design fun commercials and all of that. So this was not by any means a choice when I was young or in college or anything like that. I just kind of figured I'd sell ads and go from there. And turned out that's not the way things worked. I did sell advertising for a newspaper and for a family business for a while. That business closed at the end of 1998. And I had the opportunity to go with the new company that purchased our company. And I'm like, no thanks. I've sold my last ad. That's the last thing I ever want to do. And at the time, I'd been volunteering. I'd gotten involved volunteering for Shakespeare Festival of Dallas, at the time now called Shakespeare Dallas, the outdoor performances out at Samuel Graham Park. And I was on their board and was having a blast. And I'm like, can you get paid to do stuff like this? And everyone said, not well, but you can. And I just didn't listen to them. And so I interviewed for a couple of jobs. And I think the Arts District Friends hired me in 99 solely because I would work for what the salary that they could offer. And they didn't know what they were getting. I didn't know what I was doing when I joined. But it was by far the best decision I ever made. And that was, you know, 14 and a half years ago or whatever it is. And I've had a blast at every organization I've been since then.
And you went through the Leadership Arts Institute as well with BCA.
Absolutely. Leadership Arts program from the Business Council for the Arts. If you haven't done it and you're interested in getting involved in the arts, it's fantastic.
So did you ever work in film? Were you ever an actor? Did you ever take drama in high school?
I was the sound designer on our third grade puppet show. I'm still friends with the drama teacher from that class, so that was fun. And in a senior year in high school, I was on stage for our senior follies. We did the class makes fun of events that happened throughout the year, and I played a lower school student and had to whine to the teacher about something. And that's all. That's all I've ever done in film or art or theater or anything like that.
Was that on your resume for the Dallas Film Society?
I left that out, yes. I left that one out. Though I did have a unique sales approach to James. James was in my interview process.
Oh, we might want to hear that a little bit later on, or maybe
yeah,
now.
I'll tell him later.
So, we just kind of heard that you really didn't envision being in the nonprofit sector early on, but now you're working for, in my opinion, a major film society now. It's booming, it's growing, it's doing great things. Just the idea of pulling together the talents of film together for a festival for series. Did you ever see yourself doing that?
No. I mean, when I got involved in the arts at the small group that I started with, it was appealing to me because I was interested in the arts. I like to go, and mainly music was the thing that I loved the most. And it was, I loved to go to listen to the Dallas Wind Symphony, the Dallas Symphony Orchestra, some of those groups. But what I found as I got involved with it is I loved telling the story of what great things were going on in the arts in Dallas and North Texas. I got such a thrill out of introducing someone to what the city offered, whether it's, you know, what was going on in the arts district, free jazz at the Dallas Museum of Art on Thursday nights, the free jazz concerts at the St. Paul United Methodist Church, the outdoor events that were going on. I mean, there's so many great things that were going on in the city, and I loved telling that story to people because more often than not, people would say, there's nothing going on downtown. Why do I want to go to the arts district? This is in 99 through 2005 that I was at that group. So I just got such a big thrill about showcasing what Dallas has. And then if you look at the groups that I've worked with, at the Arts District Friends, I was helped working to promote the Dallas Arts District, trying locally and regionally and nationally. When I went to the Dallas Wind Symphony, which is the premier professional concert band in the country, I got to tell people about the only professional concert band in the country is right here in Dallas. If you're a music fan or a band fan, sorry, Chris, you've got to go talk to the Dallas Wind Symphony and the Lone Star Wind Orchestra. They're both fantastic, but the DWS, I'm partial to them because I did work there for 5 years.
They have 20 years on us.
Yeah,
so
they're a little older.
They've been around a while.
But
so
there isn't anything like that anywhere else really in the country on the caliber that we offer, that the city offers. I did work for an environmental group, the Trinity River Audubon Center and the Dogwood Canyon Audubon Centers. While it's not arts-related, there really isn't anything like it in the community. And if you haven't been down there, it's not that far away. Go to the track, Trinity River Audubon Center, and go for a walk. You will not believe that you're still in North Texas. I mean, you go there, the sounds disappear, and there's the Trinity. And no, it's not the most gorgeous of rivers, no, but it's a river, and you will be amazed that you're still in North Texas. And then I come to the Film Society. Here's another opportunity for me to basically promote and sell the city of Dallas, not just locally to the local population, which I get a thrill of, and now it's as much to regional and national folks, filmmakers who come to Dallas, film distributors, film studios that come to Dallas which support the movie. And our goal, one of our biggest passions, it's even in part of our mission, is to promote the city of Dallas. And we want people to come here, come to North Texas, and say, this is so much better than anything I perceived. I want to come back. I want to bring another movie here. I'm going to come visit here. I want to come shopping here. I'm going to come produce a movie here. So the thing that's driving me more than anything, and I get such a big kick out of, is showcasing Dallas. I mean, this is a great part of the country. And if you're not taking advantage of it, you guys are, because you're here, you come to events like this. But, you know, a lot of people don't. And that, my biggest challenge is to get all those people that don't recognize what Dallas offers, Richardson offers, Plano offers, you know, take advantage of what this community offers you, because there is a hell of a lot of good things going on.
Well, let's stay with the Dallas Film Society now. The Dallas Film Society embraces community and educational outreach. You have a number of programs. Can you tell us about some of those programs?
Okay, so where do you want to start? Let's see. We have a high school program called the High School Roundtable. Our goal is to help high schoolers understand what's going on in the film community, in film world. And that could be anything from understanding what it means to write a screenplay, to working a camera, to learning how to distribute a film, or learning how, you know, once you have a film, what do you do with it? More often than not, people get the film made, and then they have no idea what to do. How do you market it? How do you distribute it? So we have an ongoing year-round high school education program. We work with about 40, 45 high schools across the area, several in Richardson as well, and invite these high school kids to come to our high school roundtables. In fact, we had one tonight that James was at earlier this evening, introducing the kids in the program to what we're going to show in the film festival. So the high school roundtable is one that we're very excited about, and the number of kids participating in it every year is growing and growing. And these are usually extracurricular activities. Most schools don't necessarily have a organized film club, so it's a lot of volunteer, I mean, just kids that are doing this outside of school hours, but they want to be a part of it. And that's one of the things we love working on the high school program.
And along with that, we have a college program as well, because we'd like to supplement what's going on. So we have college master classes where sometimes we have filmmakers in town and, well, that come in for the festival or otherwise, and we bring them to college campuses and they talk about, we had an Academy Award nominated screen costume designer in a few years ago. He spoke at SMU. I think he spoke at North Texas. We've had Guillermo Arriaga, who's the writer behind Babel. And if you ask him, he'll say, I discovered Diego Luna and Gael Basal, Bernal Basal. They own me. Anyway, so we had a lot of guys come through, and we had that college program. Then there's our Film Society program itself is sort of an education program. We do several screening series. We do one here at the Alamo Draft House, where we've been showing classic films that were made in Texas. What was the first one we did in that series? It was... Simple Last Picture Show was what we kicked it off with. We do a series with the Dallas Morning News with Chris Wagner, a special series. So it's always about film education for us and keeping that going, because as Lee said, there's a lot to offer in the DFW area, and people are often surprised. And I'm never surprised. I know this community. They want this. That they need this sort of other type of artistic endeavor in their lives, and I'm happy that we can provide some of that for them.
So the Dallas Film Society has now presented 7 festivals to date, yes?
Yes.
At one point it was AFI Dallas,
yes.
And now it's the Dallas International Film Festival. And this, I've seen it just explode. I mean, it started off a very nice festival, a few days, more, and now it's just great. We've got honorees coming in. What was the driving force behind implementing a film festival like this? I mean, Dallas Film Society was around before.
No.
So it was all about the film festival.
Can you believe that? I mean, before 2006, no one had copyrighted or picked up the URL for Dallas Film Society. It did, and we did.
That's amazing.
That's incredible. There's all kinds of stuff happening. The impetus was, so I mentioned Michael Caine and the Deep Allen Film Festival in the beginning. Michael Caine was a graduate of AFI, and he actually went to them to sort of pitch an idea for a school in Dallas. And one of the members of their board of directors is Lanier Timberland. If you're familiar with SMU, the Timberland Institute of Advertising, Lanier Timberland, TM Advertising, he is the T in TM Advertising, one of the largest ad agencies in the world. He's actually probably best known. He's the guy that came up with the slogan, American Airlines, we love to fly, and it shows. He also came up with that Pace Picante commercial, New York City, get a rope. That was Lanier Timberland. He's here. He's a Texan. Been here since, the 40s. He was on the board. They mentioned to him, Todd Wagner of Wagner Cuban fame. They said, hey, you should talk to Timberland. Come up. They decided, you know, a school is not a great idea, but we love this film festival idea. And so that sort of incubated. We talked to the city about it. We had some independent studies done to see how it could happen. And, that started in 2005. And in summer of 2006, we were signing the contract to become AFI Dallas, and our first film festival was March of 2007. And it was a 3-year contract, just, you know, using AFI and their name, and so they're getting started, getting our feet wet, and seeing what we could do, and it really took off. And after a 3-year contract ended, we decided, you know what, let's reevaluate this, let's talk about what we want, what we can get, and our board of directors decided, you know what, we enjoy that, but we really enjoy that it's, oh my God, my phone, sorry, that's all messed up. I think it just died. Good, it died. Sorry.
Is that a famous person?
No, in my life, it's my best friend. So once we got to that point, they said, you know what, we can do this. The Dallas International Film Festival, we can do this on our own. So we did, and we went off, and it's been since 2010. And we've been great. I mean, it's been really neat that one thing we couldn't do when we were AFI was have a film society. Like, we could not have members that would be a member of the Film Society of Dallas. It would have to be AFI members. And so that was probably a big point for us. And we love having that internal thing, that sort of that camaraderie within, being able to talk about things and have people come be a part of what we're doing. And that was, for me, that was one of the big things with the AFI split.
Well, congratulations to both of you guys. The film festival has been just amazing, and we're excited about the one coming up this year. The artistry of programming. We're going to get into some arts here.
Oh boy.
So in the preparation phase for a film festival, how are films chosen? Do you, are you the man that just, they just send it to you and you're the one that chooses all the films? Or
dartboard. Got a big dartboard. No. There was a... okay. We have a, there's a system called Without a Box, and we that's a filmmaker. If you're filmmakers in town, if you don't know what Without a Box is, it's sort of a clearinghouse for film festivals around the world. And there's over 5,000 or 6,000 film festivals, and I think 4,000 of them plus are on this system. Instead of having to enter your film on each individual festival, you go to this, and there's marketing on there, and they reach out to the filmmakers for you. You sign up, you put your film on there once, and you just hit a button, and you just submit it to all these different film festivals. So we'll use that system. We market through film magazines and things to get films to come in. So the films come in, we spend, and then Sarah Harris and Lee Pappert, actually, we travel around the country, around the world, going to different film festivals, trying to find other films and talk to distributors, filmmakers, what have you, to bring those films back to Dallas. And so when, as we're going, we have an idea what our plan is, like what kind of films we want to show, what are our categories, and we start filling in the gaps over 8 months. And it can get ugly. We have a committee. We have 17 to 20 people that are watching films, giving their notes to us. Lee watches films for us. Actually, it's Lee's first or second year. I think we programmed 5 films you watched that you saw in Toronto. Is that? I do that. So, but yeah, so then we spend a lot of time just trying to figure out what it is and what the community we feel would like to see and what we want to bring to the community, things that haven't been seen. There's a thing in the festival world in which some people want to strive for world premieres. I don't care that much about world premieres, although we have some really kick-ass ones at the festival this year. But I don't care about them. But I want to bring good things that you might not see to Dallas and to Dallas-Fort Worth. And it's just, it just makes sense. I want to show films that people will read about and say, man, I wish that was here. It's here. We had it at the festival.
Lee, what would be one of your biggest challenges when putting this film festival together?
One? You only want one challenge? You know, I don't want to sound like a broken record with every small arts group, but fundraising, funding is always a challenge. But that's kind of ubiquitous with all nonprofit organizations. So funding is always a challenge. I think for us, more than anything else, for me, it's the challenge of raising our profile in the film world. As James mentioned, there's thousands of film festivals. We're not that old. We're not Sundance. We're not Toronto. We don't offer the warmth and beauty of Palm Springs or Venice, Italy, or the perceived prestige of Tribeca, New York.
We have the Trinity River, though.
We do. We're not going to ever become the Trinity River Film Festival. So, the opportunity, the challenge for us is to continue to position Dallas as a destination for film. And it's to raise the profile of the city of Dallas as a place that filmmakers and studios and distributors would want to bring their film. And that's the hardest thing, because we'll go talk to a distributor and they're like, why the hell would we want to take our movie to Dallas? That's not going to get us anything. We, you know, despite the fact this is the fourth largest metropolitan statistical area in the country, that's not enough of a selling point. So I think the biggest challenge is, how do we, on a very limited budget, change the perception of this community as a place that relishes and celebrates film? And that's a nonstop, year-round, we're never going to be satisfied with that effort to change the perception of Dallas. And I think, and it's purely anecdotal, I don't have numbers that I could point to or anything like that, we are making strides in that effort, and we are succeeding. Because, and this little anecdotal story is, a film distributor that has always been very difficult with us has basically refused our phone calls, barely talked to us. We'd ask them, we really want to show this movie. They're like, no way, who the hell are you guys? We don't want to show the movie here. Well, they called us this year, and they said, we've got 2 movies, or 4 movies, can we talk to you about them? And I think I heard James drop the phone when that happened. But, you know, we were very cordial and polite. Well, that dialogue is now, they called us. They're wanting to work with us, and they're embracing us more. Now, that doesn't mean next year will be different and they'll go back to their same thing. They just may have had some business reasons that they need to get some movies out. But that being said, we're making strides in helping people understand they cannot ignore Dallas. They cannot ignore this community. And that's the challenge, I think, more than anything, that's frustrating yet rewarding when we're making these strides.
Let's talk about some good things here. What is coming up at this year's festival? What can we look forward to? Give us a rundown of the lineup if you'd like.
I would just say you've got 11 days of fun scheduled, so if you're not don't have anything going on April 3rd through 13th, plan on seeing a movie. And I challenge everyone here to see a movie a day. Because, you know, who wants to work? Let's go see some movies.
What's coming up? We have 173-plus features and shorts over 11 days, representing 27 countries, 11 world premieres, 3 North American premieres, some actually pretty cool celebrity quotient this year, which I'm kind of, like, freaked out about. And I'm really excited about what I gear up for is what I've always tell people. We fight in Dallas, Fort Worth, this area. We do screenings in Dallas, in Richardson, in Plano. It's a very international area. People don't realize that from outside. They think one thing, and they come and think, holy crap, there's a lot of things happening here. So we spotlight a country every year. We do a Latino section every year. This year we did an expanded Latino section, so we're going to have a lot of films and people coming. We have this Luchador film called The Man in the Mask, and it's Behind the Mask, and it has one of the legendary Luchador wrestlers and the director. They're planning on coming in for this on our Latino Day, which is April the 6th, and we have a lot of people coming in for that, which we're really excited about. We have a world premiere happening called, I don't know if you've seen the trailer for the movie Heaven is for Real, with Greg Kinnear and Thomas Hayden Church, Margot Martindale. I always forget the director's name. I always call him Rowan Atkinson, but that's not right. He's the director. He wrote Braveheart. I always forget the guy's name. It always kills me. I'm going to meet him. I'm going to like, oh, Mr. B. Randall Wallace, that's his name. Not Mr. B. So the... But we're doing a world premiere of that film this year. I mean, it actually is T.D. Jakes, his producer of the movie, and we are... they're having some sort of slight screenings for general press and such, but we're the actual physical public world premiere of the film. So it's come a long way, and we're very excited about that. It's just going to be a lot. As we do more of these things, I get more excited about everything we have coming in. Our panel series, our film education during the film festival, we have a panel on faith-based filmmaking, a panel on race imaging in films, and a panel on children's imaging in film. And we have a lot of people coming in for that, working with the city. There's a series with the mayor whose hot topic is domestic violence. And the mayor of Dallas is actually working with us on a film that we have about domestic violence. And it's just, I mean, there's so much. Oh, this really, really amazing Hong Kong film. We're doing this Hong Kong thing, and it's called Firestorm. It's a number 5 box office film in Hong Kong this year. It's up for all these technical awards, and, I mean, Lee saw some of it, but it's just this bombastic giant thing. It's amazing. And then we're North American, remember this other Hong Kong film with this director coming in from Hong Kong just for a movie and having to leave to go because his other film is nominated for Hong Kong Oscars. So he has to leave after our awards because he's like, I'm going to win, right? I go, I don't know if you're going to win or not, but come on out. So we've got a lot of people coming from all over the planet coming to our festival, and we're just really excited. As you can tell, I'm excited, and as I love what I do.
So my father is a huge John Wayne fan. So I have to point out that John Wayne is receiving a posthumous Dallas Star Award. So how did you guys arrive at choosing John Wayne? And how excited are you guys to have members of his family come and accept the award?
We don't want to talk about the extended Wayne family of 144 members. It's an interesting thing. Yes, we are absolutely thrilled to honor John Wayne and have some of his family members present, but we're also thrilled because there's another film event that's happening we're not producing, but we're somewhat involved with. There is a celebration of John Wayne occurring 2 weeks after we're done, and there is a John Wayne Film Festival occurring in Dallas. It's actually been in Snyder, Texas for the last several years, but they wanted to bring it to Dallas to get a little bit more visibility. they do this to honor the Mr. Wayne, but also to raise funds for the John Wayne Cancer Foundation. They brought the festival to Dallas and approached us about partnering in some ways, and we said, well, that makes sense. I mean, he's an icon in the film world. He instills passion in so many people. And so we decided to honor him with our Dallas Star Award, which is how we honor some folks. And we're going to do that and show the movie Stagecoach, one of the classics, on April 13th, one of his classics. And more to the point, it's not just a John Wayne movie. It's a classic movie. It's one that's in, if you've taken any film history classes, it's one that everybody's seen. It's one that really celebrates, and I keep saying the art of film, but that's who we are and what we do. So we wanted to show Stagecoach, and several members of the Wayne family will be there. There will be a Q&A before the film, and then they'll show the film. And it'll be a lot of fun to be a part of that. And the Wayne family members couldn't be nicer and couldn't be more thrilled to be coming to Dallas to be a part of this.
Always in that Stagecoach screening, which is at the Texas Theater, which we can say here because we're cool with that. It's a 1939 actual 35mm film print, and we're very excited to have that. And the guy's garage out of Jersey that we had to get it from is very cool, and it looks really beautiful, and I'm really excited to see that. I actually love that movie. I'm a big John Wayne fan. His family's different.
So is there a website we can go to for more information about the Dallas Film Society?
Yeah, dallasfilm.org will take you right to or you can actually do dallasinternationalfilmfestival.com or .org, and it'll take you right to our website. We can buy tickets, check out our schedule, see all the things that we have going on, including our Family Day at Clyde Warren Park with the 30th anniversary of Never Ending Story going on, or the 30th anniversary of Paris, Texas. We're doing that as well with the cast and crew here.
So at this time, we're going to turn to the audience. So if any of you guys have questions for Mr. Papert or Mr. Faust, just raise your hand and I'll come by with the mic.
Yeah, and I love the fact that an angel just got its wings. Sorry.
I was just kind of wondering, what percentage of your content from this year's Film Fest was locally made?
Locally by Dallas or locally by Texas?
DFW.
Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 shorts. Features. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 features that I can think of right now. So 13 films total. Maybe 13. Oh, shoot. 15. So, 15 films of the 100. Actually, that doesn't include the education shorts. If I count the education shorts, that's 55 of them from local high schools and colleges. So, that's 55 of those. So, I'm taking those out of the equation. I'm talking about films that aren't in our educational program, which are the local stuff. So, 15 of those. So, if you add the other 55, it's quite a bit of 173. So, sure.
I don't think we heard about the interview process that you mentioned earlier.
So I interviewed for this job 3 days before I got married, so that was a little stressful time period. But I got called back for a second interview, and I was thrilled by that. They called me on my honeymoon, said, would you come back? Sure. You know, we were bored already, so no, I'm kidding. But I said, sure. And I just happened to be scrolling along through something. I can't remember what it was. James was quoted in the newspaper that said, I've never worn a Hawaiian shirt. I don't think I even own a Hawaiian shirt. And I don't know, it was on Facebook, I think it was. And so I happen to be a fan of the Aloha shirt. And so I showed up at the interview knowing James was going to be there and brought him a Hawaiian shirt. And it's still the only Hawaiian shirt he owns. I know he's worn it at least once. So
I remember that Hawaiian shirt from the Dallas Wind Symphony.
Yeah, Chris has seen many of my favorites.
So when you're planning ahead, who would you like to have here that you haven't hosted yet? And are there some budding young filmmakers in the area that you think we all need to be paying attention to?
David Lowry. He had a film that was picked up by IFC recently. He's a great filmmaker. We've had 1, 2, 3 of his films that he's directed. 4 of his films that he's directed. 2 shorts, 2 features. One won our film festival. He made a film called Ain't Them Body Saints with... Rooney Mara and Casey Affleck. Yeah, Casey Affleck, and he's local. He's a Dallas kid. He's amazing. He's actually currently he's writing the next not Puff the Magic Dragon, Peach Dragon. He's recreating Peach Dragon. He's working on a movie with Robert Redford, and he's next, and he's from here, and we're very excited. And actually, a couple of filmmakers coming back to the festival, Chris Dowling, who at one point was on Days of Our Lives or something. I think he's from Richardson High School, actually. He is coming back to town with his second feature, the world premiering called Produce. He had a feature here years ago. He actually won the Deep Ellum Film Festival with a short. And another kid, John Magri, who went to Lake Highlands High School, he had a short film with us years ago that won our festival, and now he had a feature that just played to rave reviews at South By, and we're hoping to bring it back. We're trying to get the schedule together to bring it back to Dallas, and these are guys that are doing it, and we're very excited about their work, and we're just, oh my God, they're just exploding, and they're from here. I mean, David Gordon Green, anybody familiar with him? He's a local guy, I think he might even be a Richardson guy. Yeah, his new film is coming back to the fest. We've had him here five times, I think. And he's coming back with his new film, Joe, with Ty Sheridan, Heather Kafka, and a little guy named Nicolas Cage. And so they're all coming. I don't think Nick Cage is coming, but everybody else is coming for the film. And David Gordon Green will be back here. He actually wants to come early so he can go see his grandma. It's very nice. So there's a lot of things. And who I want, honestly, I want Sidney Poitier. If he's not, I want to get him before he's dead. I'm not kidding. I want Sidney Poitier. I want Mel Brooks. I want these guys. I want Spielberg. I want Andy Lau, great Asian filmmaker. There are a lot of people that are on our wish list. Sally Field might be my white whale right now. I will get her one day, and she will get here. So we'll figure that out.
So aside from here, how do we find out where you screen at? I heard you mention Texas Theater, but where else? How can we find out where the film is?
You can go to the website. I'll tell you what we're opening. We're opening night film Words and Pictures with Clive Owen and Juliette Binoche and Amy Brenneman, directed by Fred Shepsey. It's going to be at the City Performance Hall downtown, which we're really excited about going to that downtown Dallas. Tickets are available, and there's a party afterwards. Party's cool. Free booze.
Have you ever considered doing a panel with Lee's love of music? Music in film.
We did one 2008. We did a great panel about a lot of DJs and people in and musicians. Next year, this year we're doing some sort of more of an esoteric look at film, not very brass tacks. Next year, I'm already planning next year's panels. You'll be happy to know that. I'm already planning next year's panels, and it's going to be very technical. I mean, excruciatingly technical. Right now, there actually is a great panel. There's a film in the festival starring Aaron Paul and, I can't think of her name right now, but it's called Hellion. It's an amazing story from a Texas filmmaker. Yeah, Juliette Lewis, thank you. She's a Texas filmmaker, Kat Candler out of UT. She won her festival. She played South By with this film, South By and Sundance. Amazing, amazing film shot in South Texas. The person that did the sound for that was out of Skywalker Ranch, and he did the sound for the movie, and he is amazing. He just did this whole thing in South By about the ideology of sound in movies and sound and how it affects how you feel and think about things. And I'm like, man, if I can get that guy here, I was talking to him, he didn't look like his schedule was going to work out, I'd have it. But sound is excruciatingly important, and Lee notices music a lot in films. He doesn't know he notices it, but he does. And he's actually probably one of my favorite critics, because I get it, but I didn't like it, but I get it. And that's like, and I understand that when he says that. I know who would like this, but I didn't. Somebody will like this. Those kids will love it. And then I go, yeah, they would. I hate it too, but it's okay. Kids like it. And that's probably, I'll give you this. The weirdest thing is there are movies I don't necessarily agree with, but I understand that it's necessary or good. And there are films that I've programmed in the past where there's a film on shark preservation, like, can't know. And they tried their best. And I go, I disagree, but I love the way that movie was presented. They ended up winning an HD award with us. And I thought, sometimes we have to, as programmers, take ourselves out of the equation in a way, our personal feelings, because we all have them, and put aside and go, look, what is good for the general public? What is good for, what needs to be said? What needs to be told? This is a story that needs to be told. I may disagree. It's going to be something egregious for me to totally turn it down for all those reasons, but for the most part, we weigh in not just our sensibilities, but the sensibilities of the general public and what we want to present.
So one final question before we move on to the game, the lightning round game. Give us one good famous actor-director story from the festival that'll just knock our socks off. I think I've trumped them.
Well, you've got 7 years to speak of. I've only got two. Well, I'll say this one, and you guys can't tell anybody this, and I'm not going to say an exact name of on this, but an extremely famous Korean director came in my first film festival, which was in 2012, and he made friends with some very passionate film fans here in Dallas. And they were having such a good time after the movie and the party that extended, they wanted to keep having fun. And they did. It's some of the places in town that stay open really late at night, enjoying some of the things that Dallas is sadly extremely well known for. Fortunately, I didn't find out about this until about 3 weeks after the festival was over, because that's not exactly what we want to, the attitude or perception that we want to showcase of our city. We know he had a good time. He loved being in Dallas, but still, that's not exactly the highlights of this city that we want to showcase.
That's crazy. I got too many. I wouldn't even know where to... Yeah. Helen Hunt doesn't like to be kept waiting. Mickey Rooney talks too long. And Margaret kissed me. My wife got mad. Yeah, that Margaret thing was weird. I can't think of anything else that makes sense that I can tell that I can't tell off the record that happened at my particular... Jeremy... No, I can't tell that story. Jeremy Renner was here. Good things happened for him. Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
I mean, I can't. The other thing else is too salacious. I don't want to do. No, you can't. Oh, man. I love that guy's shirt over there. He's killing me. It's awesome.
So we close out airtime with a lightning round game in 1 minute called the Top 10 Shorties. 10 questions, and if you guys want to pass the mic on answering these questions, we'll see if we can get it all done in a minute's time.
Sure.
And you guys ready?
Yes, Chris.
All righty.
That's my Chris Tracy radio voice.
Favorite genre of film?
Action.
Superheroes.
Are you a morning or night person?
Morning.
Both.
Facebook or Twitter?
Facebook.
Facebook.
If you had a choice of having dinner this weekend with someone in the film industry, who would you want it to be?
Sidney Poitier.
Joss Whedon.
If you could go back in time, a famous person you would like to meet?
Orson Welles.
Gregory Peck.
Are you a cat or dog person?
Dog.
Dog.
If you had $1 million, what would be the first thing you'd buy?
I'd make a charitable contribution to the Dallas Film Society.
That's awesome. That's cool. Captain America shield, the silver one, not the red and white one. I've actually got it on hold right now.
Pens or pencils?
Pencil.
Pens.
Projecting movies with actual film or digital?
Film.
Film.
What's your favorite place to eat in Dallas so we can stalk you?
Right now, I'd say it's Barter.
What the hell is that? Don't come to my living room, so it's not my living room. Bangkok... In.
Okay, that would be it then. A round of applause for our guests.
Thank you.
This is Airtime, created by Arts Incubator of Richardson, and I'm your moderator, Chris Tucker, here at the New Alamo Draft House at 100 South Central Expressway in Richardson, Texas. Airtime is underwritten by Alamo Draft House, Dr. Barry Knezik, Christensen Davis LLC, and Eric L. Wise, and funded in part by the City of Richardson through the City of Richardson Arts Commission. We invite you to check out artsincubatorrichardson.org for future events and news.